I'm Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, you will hear reports from Dan Friedel and John Russell. Later, Dan Novak presents this week's Health and Lifestyle Report. We close the show with the Lesson of the Day from Jill Robbins and Andrew Smith. But first, Dan Friedel has this story on a new human rights report on Tibet.
A rights group based in New York City says it has documents from Chinese officials that show a plan to push rural Tibetans into cities against their will. Human Rights Watch released a report recently that provides evidence against official Chinese statements that many Tibetans have moved voluntarily. The report said that by the end of 2025, more than 930,000 rural Tibetans will have been moved to city areas. It said the Tibetans will not be able to get traditional jobs and will be limited in ways to make money. When Tibetans who lived a traditional lifestyle far outside of cities left their homes, the homes were destroyed, the group said. China claims Tibet has long been part of its territory. However, China's Communist Party established control not long after it took over mainland China at the end of the Civil War in 1949. Since then, rights organizations say, China has used coercive methods to get minority groups to learn the official language of Mandarin Chinese and promise loyalty to the ruling party. The minorities include Xinjiang Uyghur, Mongolian, Tibetan, and other ethnic groups. Human Rights Watch said the programs are presented to local groups as non-negotiable. Local leaders are required to get 100% agreement from affected villagers to relocate, the report said. The report said that when the rural Tibetans move to city areas such as Lhasa, they find a place mainly controlled by China's Han ethnic majority. They also find that Han Chinese control city politics and the economy. The report said more than 3 million of the 4.5 million rural Tibetans have been forced to build homes and give up their traditional nomadic lifestyle of agriculture and herding animals called yaks. Tibetans now live in parts of the Sichuan, Yunnan, and Qinghai provinces, which border the Tibetan Autonomous Region. The rights group noted that the Chinese relocation policy erodes or causes major damage to Tibetan culture and ways of life. The Tibetans are forced to relocate to areas where they have no choice but to make money as laborers in off-farm industries. China answers reports such as the one from Human Rights Watch by saying the accusations are intended to hurt China's image. Last year, a spokesperson for the government said living conditions in Tibet were at their historical best with a booming economy. The spokesperson said Tibetans had a full guarantee to practice their traditional religion and use their written and spoken languages. China says its urbanization push has moved many of its 1.4 billion people out of poverty and provided formerly isolated communities with transportation, electricity, healthcare, and education. Even with the push, however, China's economic growth has slowed in recent years, partly because of an aging population and high youth unemployment. Human Rights Watch suggests the United Nations carry out an independent investigation into what it calls human rights violations in Tibet and other areas. I'm Dan Friedel.
They are six-legged, hairy home invaders that will not die, no matter how hard you try. Cockroaches are experts at surviving indoors, but they did not start out that way. A recent study uses genetics to examine cockroaches spread across the world, from beginnings in Southeast Asia to Europe and beyond. The findings cover thousands of years of cockroach history and suggest the pests may have spread across the world by getting a ride with another species, people. It's not just an insect story, it's an insect and humanity story, said Stephen Richards of Baylor College of Medicine. Richards was not involved with the study. Researchers studied the genes of over 280 cockroaches from 17 countries and 6 continents. They confirmed that the German cockroach, a species found worldwide, has its beginnings in Southeast Asia. The creature likely evolved from the Asian cockroach around 2,100 years ago. Scientists have long suspected the German cockroach's Asian beginnings since similar species still live there. The research appeared recently in the publication Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The cockroaches then spread around the world on 2 major paths. They traveled west to the Middle East about 1,200 years ago, perhaps living in soldiers' food storage containers. And they may have gotten on Dutch and British East India Company trade ships to get to Europe about 270 years ago, the scientists' findings suggest. Once the creatures arrived in Europe, inventions like the steam engine and indoor plumbing likely helped the insects travel further and get used to living indoors, where they are most commonly found today. Researchers said exploring how cockroaches conquered past environments may lead to better pest control. Modern-day cockroaches are tough to keep away because they evolve quickly to resist pesticides, said the study's writer Xian Teng of Harvard University. I'm John Russell.
A top U.S. pediatricians group is making a major policy change about breastfeeding by women with HIV. The group says women infected with HIV can breastfeed their babies as long as they are taking medications that suppress the virus that causes AIDS. The new reports from the American Academy of Pediatrics, or AAP, changes guidance the group had in place since the start of the HIV epidemic in the 1980s. The group said currently available drugs can reduce the risk of spreading HIV through breast milk to less than 1%, said Dr. Lisa Abwogi. She is a pediatric HIV expert at the University of Colorado and lead writer of the report. The medications are so good now, and the benefits for mom and baby are so important, that we are at a point where it is important to engage in shared decision-making, Abwogi said. The drugs are known as antiretroviral therapy. They do not remove all risk of spreading HIV through breast milk. Avoiding breastfeeding is the only sure way to prevent spreading the virus, Abwogi said. Also, parents must only breastfeed for the baby's first 6 months. Research shows that switching between breast milk and formula can disrupt an infant's digestion in ways that increase the risk of HIV infection. About 5,000 people who have HIV give birth in the U.S. each year. Nearly all take drugs to suppress the virus to very low levels, Abwogi said. But viral levels can increase if they do not stay on them. The medications became widely available starting about 10 years ago. Before then, about 30% of HIV infections transmitted from moms to babies occurred during breastfeeding, said Dr. Lynn Moffinson. She is an advisor to the Elizabeth Glaser Pediatric AIDS Foundation. In the early 1990s, about 2,000 infections occurred in U.S. infants each year. Today, it is fewer than 30. The new AAP policy comes more than a year after government agencies changed their advice. The National Institutes of Health, NIH, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, changed their recommendations against breastfeeding by people with HIV. The new guidance said people who have viral suppression should be advised about their choices. Those agencies also said that healthcare providers should not report to Child Protective Services agencies if a parent with HIV seeks to breastfeed. Research says breastfeeding provides the best nutrition for babies and protects them against sickness and conditions like obesity and type 2 diabetes. Nursing also reduces the mother's risk of breast and ovarian cancer, diabetes, and high blood pressure. The World Health Organization, or WHO, has recommended since 2010 that women with HIV in developing countries breastfeed their infants and have antiretroviral therapy. The guidance weighed the risk of infants getting HIV through breastfeeding and the risk of babies dying from malnutrition, diarrhea, and pneumonia. In developing countries, safe replacements for breast milk are often not available. Dr. Lin Yi is a Northwestern University women's health doctor who helped write the NIH guidance. She said experts in developed nations had recommended against breastfeeding. That is because of the wide availability of safe water, formula, and human donor milk, which could remove the risk of HIV infection, Yi added. That upset people with HIV who were not given the choice to nurse. C.C. Coven is a 36-year-old from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She said she was told she was infected with HIV at age 20. She said she was not permitted to breastfeed her first child, Zion, who is now 13. Coven said not being able to nurse her son led to postpartum depression. When she became pregnant with her daughter, Zuri, who is now 2 years old, healthcare workers helped her breastfeed successfully for 7 months. Coven took her medication, and her baby was given drugs to prevent infection. Breast milk has everything in it that my baby would need, Coven said. That's a beautiful thing. Obwogi said the AAP report provides important guidance for pediatricians, nurses, and breastfeeding specialists who work with children and families. Some providers ignored the earlier recommendations and helped women being treated for HIV to nurse their babies. The new guidance should expand such nursing, hopefully quickly, Obwogi said. I'm Dan Novak.
Dan Novak is here now to talk more about today's health report. Welcome back, Dan.
Hi, Ashley.
Today's story was about new guidance from the American Academy of Pediatrics, which states that mothers with HIV can now safely breastfeed their babies. There have been many medical advances in recent years when it comes to HIV treatment, right?
That's the main reason for this change in guidance about breastfeeding. HIV can never be cured. But with antiretroviral treatment, HIV can be controlled and be prevented from developing into AIDS. And while on those medications, a person's viral load is very small, there's a low risk of passing the virus to sexual partners or from mothers to their babies.
It seems that the benefits of breastfeeding outweigh the risks of passing HIV on to babies.
Yeah, that's right. Before HIV medications were widely available, 30% of HIV infections transmitted from moms to babies occurred during breastfeeding. In the early 1990s, about 2,000 infections occurred in U.S. infants each year. Today, it's fewer than 30. So, there's a very small risk now. And now doctors think it's a smart idea to give mothers the option to breastfeed. Before, they would strongly advise against it. And breastfeeding is known to be very beneficial to both mother and child. But it is very important to note that if a mother with HIV chooses to breastfeed, they must solely breastfeed for the baby's first 6 months. Changing between breast milk and formula can raise the risk of HIV transmission.
All right. Thanks for that report, Dan, and thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
My name is Anna Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And my name is Jill Robbins. You're listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
In a recent Lesson of the Day podcast, we talked about Anna going to the store to buy food for a dinner party. In Lesson 39, which is called It's Unbelievable, we see Anna shopping online. She sees an advertisement on television and, as you can imagine, learns an important lesson about advertising.
Winter weather in Washington, D.C. can be really windy. And wind messes up my hair. It is really windy today. Oh, look at my hair. Will it be windy this weekend? I'll listen to the news. I am tired of my untidy hair.
Are you tired of your untidy hair?
Yes. Yes, I am. And it's uncomfortable.
Is it uncomfortable?
Yes. Yes, it is. Hey, is that Pete?
Hi, I'm Pete, and I have the perfect product for you. Hair Be Good. Just spray Hair Be Good on your hair. Wrap in a towel. And you are done. Hair Be Good works. And it's inexpensive. One can costs only $10. So go online and order your Hair Be Good today.
Hair Be Good sounds perfect. And I can trust Pete. I am buying some right now. Okay, I will order one can of Hair Be Good for $10. I'll pay with a credit card. My delivery will arrive in 2 days. Awesome!
We should add that in Let's Learn English, you can find lesson plans with many activities and explanations like the ones we give you in this podcast. For example, there's a pronunciation practice video about the feeling Anna describes for her untidy hair.
One of the new words in this lesson can cause problems for English learners. That word is uncomfortable, and its opposite, comfortable. When you say this word, you do not pronounce some of the letters that you see in the written word.
In this lesson, you hear Anna say that her hair is uncomfortable.
Are you tired of your untidy hair?
Yes. Yes, I am. And it's uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. Hey, that sounds like one of those reduced forms we've been teaching in some of our earlier podcasts.
Yeah, are you happy? It wouldn't be a lesson of the day without a reduced form.
That's right. Let's listen to more of the story. I want to find out if the hair product helps Anna fix her hair.
I'll use it before I go to work. Okay, Hair Be Good. Make my untidy hair tidy. No, make it fabulous.
Hi, Anna.
Hello, Amelia.
Anna, you look different.
Thanks. I used a new product called Hair Be Good.
Well, it's not.
It's not what?
Good. Your hair does not look good.
Oh, no! This is not good.
Why don't you go home and take care of this?
Good idea.
Listeners, we need to describe for you now how Anna's hair looks in the video. It's standing up straight from her head in all different directions. You could say it's even more untidy than it was before.
It looks very strange. Now you can guess that Anna will be very unhappy with Pete when she meets him on her way home from work. Let's listen.
Hi, Anna.
Hello, Pete.
Is something wrong?
This is wrong.
What did you do to your hair?
Hair Be Good did this to my hair.
Oh, you bought it.
Yes, I bought it. You said in your ad it was a perfect product. This is not perfect. This is imperfect.
It's unbelievable.
I believed your ad, Pete. It was dishonest.
I hope this doesn't damage their friendship. And by the way, you probably figured out that untidy means not neat. In this lesson, you hear Anna use adjectives with negative prefixes. Prefixes are those little two- or three-letter pieces that come before a word and change its meaning. The prefixes in this lesson are the letters I-N, in, the letters U-N, un, the letters D-I-S, dis, and the letters I-M, im.
Hey, we had an example of dis in our previous podcast when we talked about Anna and the guy from the country disagreeing.
That's true, we did.
And like I said before, Anna is really unhappy with Pete because she believed his TV ad. She didn't know it was a dishonest ad, one that was not really telling the truth. So it was unbelievable.
Thanks, Jill, for those examples of how those prefixes give the opposite meaning to an adjective. Like when Anna tells Pete that the product in his advertisement does not work.
Yes, I bought it. You said in your ad it was a perfect product. This is not perfect. This is imperfect.
In this example, imperfect means the opposite of perfect. The prefix is IM or im.
I suppose our listeners are wondering why there are so many prefixes to make the meaning opposite. Dr. Jill, do you have a linguistic explanation for that?
Of course I do. One reason is that English words were borrowed from several different languages. One of them is German. Words from German use a prefix un or un. And a lot of words come to us from Latin through other languages like French. Those words from Latin use the prefix in or in.
Okay, but what about the other prefixes like I am as in imperfect? Perfect comes from Latin, doesn't it?
Yes, but the prefix in or in changes to im or I am before adjectives that begin with P, B, and M, as in impossible and imperfect.
So there, it changes because of the sound of the next letter. That makes sense. There are some important words that take the IM, im, like import, immunize, immortal.
And important, too. There are two other prefix sound changes like that. The prefix in, I-N, changes to I-L or ill before the letter L, as in illiterate or not able to read.
That's right. If you are literate, you can read, and if you are illiterate, you cannot read. That prefix also gives us words like illegal and illogical. And isn't there one more prefix? IR, ear. The letters IN, in, changes to ear before words that begin with R, as in irresponsible, which means careless.
Right, so we get irregular and irrelevant. But let's get back to our story. Will Anna forgive Pete?
Anna, you don't believe everything you see in ads, do you?
No, Pete. Just the ones with my friends.
Your hair will be okay. Just wash it a couple of times.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Pete. Here's your product. You should call it Hair Be Really, Really Bad. Until next time, Pete. Till next time.
I guess it will take a little time for her to forgive him. But she's learned not to believe everything she sees on television.
That gives me an idea, Andrew. Let's ask our listeners to write to us about some advertising they learned that was not 100% true. Write to us at learningenglish@voanews.com or in the comments on our YouTube video.
And here's a useful vocabulary word for our listeners. An advertisement that is very untrue, we call that a scam. S-C-A-M. So perhaps you have encountered some scams, but hopefully not. And whether you find us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, or on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. We hope you have enjoyed the lesson of the day on the Learning English Podcast.
And thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Jill.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.